good year last year. Maybe not the best. There were some bad things that happened. But overall, we profited from everything that took place in one way or another. And we are beginning a new year now, and we are going to take a little break in the series that we were in the middle of. We want to talk about the year of the Lord this morning. We want to study that together, the year of the Lord. And perhaps for us, this year can be one of those years. We need not think of the year of the Lord as being something that can't be repeated. It's something that needs to be spoken of again and again. I want to look to Isaiah chapter 61. We'll turn there to get us started. For those who were wondering, we are glad to be back home. We enjoyed the time off, and I know Xander really enjoyed getting to spend some time with Grammy and Grandpa, particularly Grandpa. Didn't know if we were going to be able to bring him back or not. he would have rather stayed there than come back with us, maybe, but we did enjoy it. And had the opportunity to preach twice last week for two different congregations, so see how I use my time off. But preached there for the congregation where my dad preaches, and also for another congregation there in that same city. So I was able to continue preaching it. I don't feel right if I'm not preaching. Wanted to thank everyone, all the guests that you've given us, and many have given gifts. We're thankful for those. Appreciate all of those things. Wanted to thank you for them. I wanted to let y'all know that this evening, if you come back this evening, that is, we'll have a little something for everyone. We usually try to have that before the beginning of the next year, but we're running a little late. We'll call it your New Year's bonus or something this year. And to remind you about or let you know about that, so be back this evening for that. You may not even like it. You don't want it. If you don't want it, we'll find somebody that will take it. Well, sometimes it depends on the thought. But let's turn to Isaiah 61. My New Year's resolution is to try to help us get out on time every Sunday. So we'll try to make those lessons a little shorter this year. Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame shall you have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth her bud, And as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Just one little phrase in there about the acceptable year of the Lord, but Isaiah tells of a time that's coming when things were going to be better than they were then. Good things were going to happen. The people were going to be rich, and instead of them having to do all the work themselves, they were going to have strangers from other lands come in doing their work for them. And they were going to get to receive all of the blessings. And they were going to be called priests of God and ministers of the Lord and these kinds of things. They were going to be well known. Well, we may wonder what time Isaiah was talking about. To answer that question, let's turn over to Luke chapter 4 and verse number 19. We'll really want to start a little before that. We want to start all the way back in verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth. Remember, that's his hometown. That's where he had been brought up, Luke says. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Remember, Jesus lived under the Old Testament law. Under the Old Testament law, they met together on the Sabbath day to worship God instead of on the first day of the week as we do under the New Covenant. So he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. Verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's what we just read from Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So Jesus lets us know by that when that acceptable year of the Lord came. He was the one of whom Isaiah was prophesying that was going to come and proclaim that acceptable year of the Lord, that was going to bring salvation to the people, that was going to allow them to enter into that everlasting covenant that Isaiah spoke of in verse 8. Let's look back to Isaiah now for a couple of minutes and look at some of the things that Jesus brought and that we as his disciples, as his followers, as those who want to imitate him need to be proclaiming in this new year. We need to make this year also an acceptable year. We need to proclaim the same thing that Jesus proclaimed. Look at what he said he was to do. He was to preach what good tidings to the meek. We need to be going out and finding those people who are not prideful, who are not arrogant, but those people who are willing to submit themselves to God. Find those meek individuals and tell them the good tidings of Jesus Christ. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We need to find the people whose hearts are broken, and there are so many ways that hearts can be broken. Our hearts are broken by death, by other forms of loss, whether it be children growing up and going away to college, or whether it be divorce, or whether it be someone just moving away to another place that was close to us. There are a lot of ways that our hearts are broken. We need to be there for those who have those broken hearts, to bind them up, to comfort them, to hold them together during those difficult times. Then he goes on to say, to proclaim liberty to the captives. We need to go about and find all of those people around about us who are enslaved to sin. They're captives of sin. They're under hard bondage and hard labor to the devil. We need to find those people, and we need to proclaim to them the there is liberty, there's freedom available. Here in our country, we've come to despise slavery to a degree probably that it was never despised before in the world. You know, for many, many years, slavery wasn't even thought of as a bad thing at all. But now we despise being enslaved. And yet, so many around about us are enslaved to sin. They think they're free, but they're not. They're in slavery. And we need to proclaim to them that there's freedom available in Jesus Christ. You can be freed from sin and freed from serving the devil. Then he says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Another translation says the year of the Lord's favor. A year when God will shine, and in prophecy many times words are used symbolically, and the word year I think can be used symbolically here. Not just one 365 day period of time, but a long time. Notice what he talks about here. He contrasts the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God. So he's making a contrast between those lengths of time. But there's going to be a time, or there can be for each of us, a time where we receive the Lord's favor. There's also going to be, for some, and could be for us as well, a time where we receive the vengeance of God. It's up to us to choose which. And he uses those two different time frames, a year. In other words, God can bless us and give us his grace and mercy and favor for a long time. Or our whole lives through, in reality. Or, he can come in a single day in vengeance. And that'll be the end of it. Notice that when the judgment day is spoken of, not a judgment year, but a judgment day, when God's vengeance comes to a head, it doesn't take him long. Look at Noah's world. Noah, here he was, a righteous man in the eyes of God. All the people around him as sinful as could be. And God showed grace to Noah. Did he show it to him just for one day? No. In fact, he gave him 100 years first, in which time he could build that huge monstrosity of a boat. And then, after that, even after the flood was over, God continued to favor Noah on for the rest of his life, another 350 years. What about those people who were wicked? Well, as during that time that he was giving Noah that grace and that mercy to build the ark, the other people were continuing to get more and more wicked. And when the day came that Noah and his family went into the ark, that day, see, God didn't say, okay, I'm going to send a little bit of rain, and then we'll see how many of you want to change your minds and get in the boat. When the day came, you know, Noah had been preaching for 100 years, telling people, get right, it's coming. But when the day came, there was no repenting then. It's going to be on the day of judgment. The day of the Lord's vengeance comes, it's too late. When the day of judgment comes, Jesus said, every eye, see him, every knee will bow. When that happens, it's going to be too late to say, oh, now I believe in you, Jesus, please. Let me get right. It's too late then. But we are proclaiming, and we need to be proclaiming, the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's say, we need to start it today. Start it as soon as we know that the Lord will show us favor. And we need to take advantage of that favor for as much of our life as we've got left. And then on into eternity, God will continue to show favor to those who were obedient to him in life. They will have a home with him in heaven. But the day of the vengeance of our God, we need to be proclaiming that. The world doesn't want to hear about that. The world doesn't want to hear about bad things. I read an article recently where some churches were, well, it's a new book that somebody had written, but they were proclaiming how wonderful it was, and it had helped them in partaking of the Lord's Supper because they no longer focused on the misery and the suffering of Christ's death, But instead, they focused on the beauty and the loveliness of his birds and his wife. Well, that's all sweet and sappy, I guess you might say. We need to think about Jesus' birth and his life. Those are good things to think about. But when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, Paul tells the Corinthians in chapter 11 that when you do this, you remember his death until he comes. There are a lot of people that don't want to think about his death. They don't want to think about the fact that their sin put Jesus on that cross. And they don't want to think about the fact that if they don't live right, there's a hell that God will send the disobedient to. It wasn't prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, he tells us. But he will send the disobedient men and women there as well. But people don't want to hear about that. Oh, they want to hear about heaven. Oh, yes, heaven is a beautiful place filled with glory and grace and all that thing. You know, and Jesus is up there. And oh, that's wonderful. I want to hear about that. But I don't want to hear about the negative side. And those that preach about those things feel, oh, you're just being too negative. Notice the balance that's necessary. That Isaiah proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor, but you also are to be proclaiming the day of the vengeance of our God. Those things both, side by side, balance each other. Heaven and hell, God and the devil, good and evil, righteousness and sin. There's always two sides to things. And the Bible always wants us to present both sides of it. Let people know both of those sides of the picture. Or as we would say in our, both sides of the coin. And they're usually quite different. And then he says, to comfort all that mourn. It's interesting in the way that this is put together. The idea here is that this comforting all who mourn is as a result of what he's just talked about proclaiming. He's going to proclaim the year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, or the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of God to comfort the ones that are mourning. Now, we might not necessarily think of those things, particularly the day of the vengeance of God, as being a way to comfort those that mourn. But that's what Isaiah says. He says that preaching the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of his vengeance is a way to comfort all that mourn. He goes on in verse 3 to say, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes. They used ashes to show sorrow. They'd wear sackcloth and they'd put ashes on their head and that showed sorrow. But he says he's going to give them beauty instead. Or you might think of it, beauty for ashes. The city of Jerusalem in particular was burned to the ground and destroyed on more than one occasion. And I think of those ashes, but instead of ashes, you know, we see an old ash heap where a building's burned down. That's not very pretty, is it? But then we see some of these mansions or some of these buildings. I think about the buildings in Washington, D.C., with the huge columns that look like, and those are probably not really marble, but, you know, they're beautiful, beautiful buildings. And so he said, I'm going to give beauty for ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning. Notice he's exchanging. Instead of mourning, there's going to be joy. Instead of sadness, there's going to be happiness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You ever notice that when you're in a really down and depressed mood and you're feeling bad, you ever notice that it's harder to praise God like that? You just don't feel like giving praise. He says he's going to exchange that. Instead of that spirit of heaviness and negativeness that we feel sometimes, that depression, that instead of that, I'm going to give a garment of praise. And sometimes we just feel like praising God more than others. We just feel it more. We just, for whatever reason, you know, maybe we got a good night's sleep, maybe somebody did something nice, whatever, we're just in a better mood, and we just feel more like praising God. And we know that that we are to praise God regardless of how we feel. But you know, sometimes it's just easier than other times. The way it is with everything that God commands. Whether it be telling the truth and not lying, you know, sometimes it's just easier to tell the truth, and sometimes it's harder. You just want a lie. Sometimes, you know, you think I could get out of this if I, but you got to realize just because something is harder to do doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it anyway. It may be harder to tell the truth. It may be harder to not do the things that other people are doing around you. It may be harder not to take things that don't belong to you. It might be harder not to go and some of the young people were asking me today about the proms and the dances. It may be harder not to go. You want to go. The other kids are doing those things. But just because it's a harder thing to do, many times when something is harder, the reward for doing that more difficult thing is greater. Well, which is easier? To walk 100 yards or to run 100 yards? Certainly walking is a lot easier than running. A lot harder to run. It's a lot harder to run really fast. But you know, those people that train themselves to run that really fast have an opportunity to win an Olympic gold medal. Those of us that walk it are never going to get one. We walk 100 yards 1,000 times in our life, but we're never going to win the gold medal in the Olympics because we're not running it. Yes, it's harder to do the right thing sometimes, but the reward is greater. And that's what we have to look for, the reward at the end of the tunnel. Then notice what he says, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Everything here, all of the good, is to lead to one ultimate purpose, that the Lord be glorified. That needs to be our purpose in this next year, or this year, not next year, but we're in the year. This year, and the rest of this year, this needs to be our goal, to go out and proclaim these things to people, to help those that are brokenhearted and those that mourn, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and tell people they too can have a part in that year. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you haven't followed Jesus. Jesus came to bring the year of the Lord's favor. And he brought it through his life and through his death and through his resurrection. And then he built the church so that that favor of the Lord could continue on until the end of time. If you're not a part of that church, you're outside of God's favor. And you face the risk of the day of vengeance of our Lord. Why risk that? You may say, oh, well, I'll get to it. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. There's no better time than now. Become a Christian and enjoy God's favor starting this year and on through the rest of your life. If you're here and you're a Christian, but perhaps you have not been living as you should, perhaps you haven't been helping to proclaim these things to others around you, then you may have a need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.